welcome to the Trev and Ben podcast.
Hello.
You all right, Ben?
Not too bad. Yourself?
Disturbed.
Disturbed. What's new?
Something's been disturbing me this week. Well, I discovered a TV show that I'm not sure needs to exist, and it's been troubling me.
We'll narrow it down.
Do you know Dominic Littlewood?
Is he the bald guy?
Yeah.
I know he's more than just a bald guy, but the builder guy, right?
Well, he's sort of like consumer rights and stuff. Hello, I'm Dominic Littlewood.
Here. Yes, I know him,
So we're going to take on the bad guys. Him, right?
Yeah, him. I remember.
So I don't quite know how this has happened, but he's got a new show called Dom Does America.
Okay.
So he spends 24 hours in some of the most demanding institutions in America.
When you say institutions, you mean prisons?
Well, yes. I mean, this is the only one I've seen so far. So I know he's been like a police officer, game warden, soldier, private investigator, game firefighter. Game warden, yeah.
What? Now I'm going to show my naivety here.
Yeah.
What's a game warden?
A game warden is someone
I'm
who...
I'm thinking of someone who shoots chickens.
Yeah, well, he wore... Yeah, basically...
Why is that tough?
Well, I don't... I haven't seen it. I haven't seen the programme. It might be a very tough thing to be a game warden because you've got to stop poachers.
Oh, okay.
If you're in charge of the game on an estate or something...
Oh, right. Okay, I'm with you now. You know, stopping poaching. That sounds much better than just blowing chickens' heads off.
And in America, that might be a very dangerous... game to play.
Yeah.
If you're up against some rustlers. Man, we're going to go and rustle some sheep.
Some what?
Some sheep.
Sheep.
I don't think sheep are game, though, are they?
No, I don't think so.
What's game? Like deer. Deer's game, innit?
I don't know. I don't grouse, think sheep qualify.
Grouse and pheasant, that sort of thing. Yeah. That's all game.
So Dominic Littlewood's doing all this.
So he's doing all this, right? Now, the one programme that I saw clips of was him being a correctional officer.
Now, that is prisons, yeah.
That's a prison thing, right? Now, I just want to remind you that this is Dominic Littlewood we're talking about here. Dominic Littlewood, who spent his entire daytime TV career, as far as I'm aware, exposing cowboy builders,
yep,
exposing people who are doing wrong to their customers, you know, all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right. And this is a show that goes out at 9:15 in the morning. As part of his job of being a correctional officer, he was helping transport two prisoners to court.
Okay. That doesn't sound too extreme.
Before they leave the prison, they need to check that the prisoners have nothing on them.
Hang on.
That they're smuggling out. Right?
Touch your toes time.
Well, this is the thing. So this is Dominic Littlewood. I keep going back to it. It's Dominic Littlewood standing in a prison cell saying to somebody, spread your cheeks.
No. Not 9:15 in the morning.
9:15 in the morning. It's all blurred out, all of that bit. But it's just, I can't get beyond the fact this is Dominic Littlewood.
Hang on a minute. We used to do breakfast radio. We had to watch what we said. You can't have spread your cheeks at 9:15 in the morning.
There was also great because there's two prisoners. So there's the main correctional officer who's obviously training Dom, giving the first instructions about, because it's not just separate your cheeks.
Oh, come on.
It's lift your testicles. You've got to lift your testicles.
What, in case you're smuggling anything underneath them?
How low are they hanging if you can smuggle something out in that? I mean, honestly. No, not fair play. That's something you don't want. Oh, fair play. You've got great swing.
I have
low
never.
Swinging balls where I can smuggle something out.
I have never even thought I could tuck something under there.
So anyway, so he's doing that. Now, there's a great moment where the main correctional officer says something like, now turn around and spread your cheeks.
Can we stop saying spread your cheeks, please?
Dom's first reaction is to say, do the same. He doesn't want to say it.
No,
he doesn't want to say
him.
It.
I don't want to say it.
But his prisoner is, how can I put this? He seems reticent.
Who knows it's going to be all over daytime TV?
So there's this moment where Dominic Littlewood's going, you spread your cheeks. And I just thought, God, I mean, if you're Dominic Littlewood and you are sort of the king of daytime telly, is that an advancement in your career or not?
Do you think he gets extra money for that type of job?
I'd want it. I tell you what, I'd want extra money. Or what I did wonder is, I wonder if he's upset someone as part of the daytime TV programming crew. Because imagine the meeting, like all the TV execs, they're all in there going, got this idea, right? hear me out. I've got this idea. We send someone to go and do all these jobs in America, some of the hardest jobs in America, including going into prison and getting a prisoner to spread the cheeks, right?
Yeah.
So I've got this idea, and it's the sort of boss is going, well, I'm not sure, but all right, carry on. So, it's not just that. There's game warden. Yeah. The whole range. Okay, all right. So who are we going to get? Well, I don't know. I mean, who could we have? Who's on the daytime telly? You could have that guy from Dion Dublin.
Yeah, he's good.
He does the old property thing, doesn't
he? Under the Hammer, yeah.
You could get...
Martin bloke that's with him, yeah.
Yeah. Eamon and Ruth from this morning, or Philip Schofield.
I mean, Philip Schofield, he must be a high-priced ticket.
Yeah, although this is a BBC thing, not ITV. True. So, no. Yeah, that's out. And then someone who's got this little grudge against Don goes, I got it. Dominic. Yep. Dominic Littlewood, right? Yeah, let's get into it. Imagine that phone call. Dom, yeah, we've got this idea, right? You're going to do some of the hardest job. We're going to call it Dom Does America. Oh, yeah, great. Yeah, I'm up for that. You're going to be a correctional officer in a prison. You're okay with that? Yeah, fine. So he's like, yo, I've made it. I've gone beyond just the normal daytime telly thing. And then the next thing, what's going through his mind when he's suddenly in a cell having to look there? I mean, that's where his career is going.
Yeah. I mean, can I ask as well, and I'm going to try and be delicate with this. I've been, by the way, for the last 5 minutes, I've been resisting the joke. He's been given a bum deal. But I couldn't help myself. But is he looking directly into the gates of hell, or is it via a mirror? That's what I want to know.
No, he's looking directly in.
Oh, he's not.
Yeah. I mean,
surely that's a health hazard.
I mean, he's not... It's not right up close. There's a little distance.
I thought there was a mirror, a floor mirror involved, and you look at the floor, and you look at the mirror, and then...
Well, that's not how... that might be how they normally do it, but not when Dom's doing it.
That is how they normally do it. Our little one's in.
Yeah, so, well, get rid of the mirror. Yeah. Okay, we're going to make him do this properly. Spread it wide.
God.
Time to meet a guest on this week's podcast, Ben, and it's an old mate of mine. And we haven't actually spoken for quite a long time.
Right.
We used to work together on a radio station about 12 years ago.
Okay.
But he is now hosting his own podcast.
His own very podcast.
There are other podcasts out there. No, there are.
We are the only podcast.
There's one or two out there. It's a podcast called God Only Knows. It is very, very good. There are 10 episodes available right now. It's the first full series is all out there. And we'll find out about the idea behind it and what he's discovered about some celebrities.
Ooh, fun.
Hey, Matt, it's great to have you on the podcast.
Hello, it's lovely to be here. Thanks for having me.
I can't believe it's so long since we last spoke to each other.
I know. It was, I have to say, like, so I did, I don't know if you've said to people, I did breakfast and then you came on for mid-morning.
That's right,
and
yeah.
We started off just by bringing you in for like a few minutes at the end of my show. It was like, sort of like a minute to kind of say what was coming on. And gradually it got to the point where it was getting so early that the controller of the station had to call us in and tell us that we weren't allowed to do it anymore.
I know.
It literally was like 2 minutes to 10. It's like, oh, let's get together and have a little chat. And then it was suddenly becoming like 9:05. It's time for the last hour. It was just... You could tell we really wanted a double hander.
Yeah, well, I mean, who needs music?
Exactly. No one wanted it anyway. They wanted our hilarious banter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So look, Matt, you're doing your own podcast, God Only Knows, which is fantastic, by the way. Really, really loved it. Tell us, just for anyone that hasn't heard it yet, what's the idea?
Yeah, so God Only Knows is it's essentially a comedy interview podcast in its kind of purest form. That was what you had to kind of define it. But what we do is we bring on a special guest each episode, and then we kind of hilariously kill them off. So they spin a wheel of death, which does actually exist. They press a button, and then there's these like three options for how they were killed. And essentially, we're set at the edge of eternity. So they've left an elevator and walked out into whatever heaven is for them. And then they get the chance to submit three questions for God. And I take those three questions and we talk about them. But they get to define everything. So they define who God is. They define what heaven is. They define what this afterlife looks like. It's all from them. And I kind of just listen and laugh and enjoy the conversation.
And you talk about killing them off. Can you give us a couple of examples of the way you've killed off celebrities?
Yeah, Samantha Baines, who's a brilliant comedian and actress and author, she fell off Mr. Blobby live on BBC News 24. That was a particularly good one. Ori Styler, who's a comedian, brilliant, brilliant comedian. He got hit by a cheese kick on the M6.
Wow.
But weirdly on that one, he was actually going to Birmingham on tour the next week. And so he really sort of slightly freaked out about that one because he was like, this is a prophecy, is it? And I was like, no, nothing's happened yet. So we've had a few of those. Matt Ford, who I just love, who, if you haven't heard his podcast, he's actually doing daily podcasts at the minute in the run-up to the election. Just probably the best political comedian we have in the UK right now. He fell off a piano live at the O2, but it turned out he actually plays the piano, and really? I didn't know that when we did it, so that was brilliant.
Wow. Well, what we thought we'd do is, if you don't mind, Matt, is we'd sort of subject you to this. We're going to kill you off.
Oh yeah.
So Ben, what have you got there? You've got the lower budget Trev and Ben Wheel of Death.
Yeah, I've got a pick your death generator. So I just need to know, how old are you, Matt? If you don't mind me asking.
What is this, radio age or real age?
you pick.
Okay, well, in my real life, I'm 37, but don't tell anyone.
Okay, be our secret. Okay, so Matt White, age 37. There's some quite intrusive questions it wants to know, like social class and things like that. Well, I think we'll skip all of those.
Okay, fine.
Right near death. Here we go. It's just loading up now. Okay, it's saying you're going to die probable age 79.
Oh, it's a decent innings.
Not
that's
bad.
A good innings, isn't it? Yeah, good innings. I'll take that.
It's come up with probable cause of death. You were killed by poisoned jammy biscuits.
Oh,
that. I mean, what I like about that is clearly, finally, someone got me. Yeah, you don't die from jammy biscuits by accident, do you? That is, someone has finally got what they wanted.
Do you know what worries me more than anything, though, is you're 79, right? This sounds like it's possibly happened in a nursing home. We could have uncovered a new Howard Shipman thing here going on.
True. Although, to be fair, I have enough enemies. I won't fall prey to your average serial killer. It'll be someone who really knows me. If they're going to get me, it'll be someone who has good reason, I promise.
Well, you say that, but it is suggesting that other likely causes could be murdered by a stranger.
Ooh. Oh, there we go. Well, did you know that would be the ultimate irony? That's fine.
You'd rather be murdered by a stranger than poisoned by someone you know.
Of course.
Yeah. The idea of someone poisoning my, my jammy at 79, one of my few luxuries. Although, to be honest, by the time I'm 79, I mean, we're all going to be living to 3,000 anyway, aren't we? So 79 will be a...
That's true.
A young pup.
Is a jammy dodger a good way to go, though? I mean, I'd prefer a custard cream.
Yeah, I mean, you could just avoid all this by never buying another jammy dodger, but what sort of life is that?
Come on, why are we messing around in the cheap biscuit section here, folks? Come on, let's go premium. I mean, your jammy dodgers, your custard creams, that's people who didn't realise you were coming and aren't pleased to see you. That's not your kind of... That hasn't been in the diary, has it? That means, so.
So look, once you've killed off your celebrities, I love the idea that they come up in this elevator and you kind of act as the... I see you as kind of the admin of heaven, whatever they see heaven to be, or the afterlife. You kind of do the admin bit.
Yeah, I'm sort of the inquisitive little helper. That's how we've always sort of defined it, is that kind of I'm there to take the questions and then usually to find out more about why they wanted to know. That's all I'm there for, really.
The weird thing is when you're doing that bit, I have a mental image of effectively like a doctor's waiting room.
Okay.
I mean, how many people would consider a waiting room to get into heaven? I mean, is it a normal thing you come across that people actually think, oh, well, yeah, it's going to be a waiting room?
Do you know what's really changed it is The Good Place.
I've not seen this yet.
Yeah, so we ended up having to cut a few because by the first four episodes, so many people had mentioned it was getting weird. So it was like one of those things where this isn't The Good Place podcast, and actually they probably already have one, so we probably just steer clear of that. But that image of kind of opening your eyes and that you look on the wall, I think it says like everything's all right or everything's okay or something like that. But so many people have, I guess, started to think about this again just because of that show, and that show kind of being so good and so successful. So I think The Waiting Room kind of gets people in a way. I think the idea of an elevator is really interesting. I think our first guest, Matt Richardson, who's a lovely friend of mine, he was disappointed because he thought it was an escalator. So he was really disappointed I'd gone for the lift metaphor. I think you know what's really interesting about all of it? I think people are genuinely interested in this stuff. Like, I think people are just up for these conversations. And I noticed that. So I've been working in telly and radio now for, I guess, kind of 10, 12, 15 years, somewhere around that. And the thing I always find was that people are really up for a conversation about important stuff. So people want to talk about what comes next. People want to talk about what else is out there. People want to talk about life and death and all these random things. I guess I probably didn't realize people would be willing to go quite so deep so quick. Like, I mean, we, again, almost every comedian who's been on have sort of got to the end of the show and gone, sorry, I thought I'd be funny. I just ended up talking about my childhood. But it's amazing how people, I think, really want to talk about that stuff. And hopefully our podcast is kind of just giving them a chance to do that. But also, what I love more than anything is when people get in touch and go, oh man, I've spent all day thinking about what my questions would be. Like, I love that. It just, it really makes me happy, because it means that people are kind of up for that kind of whole conversation.
And I think that is the great thing about your podcast, because people do seem to open up to you. I think, you know, it's a very, you can almost hear a cathartic experience taking place for some of your guests. And do they leave thinking, sort of almost thanking you? It's like,
so David Morgan, who I've worked with before, and I love David, and David did this brilliant episode where he really opened up about his life and his past and his own brushes with religion and stuff like that. And and we had this lovely chat, and we've known each other for a number of years. But when he left, he put on Instagram this picture of himself in a mirror, and it must have been either in a bathroom or a changing room or somewhere, going, I've just been on a podcast and now I'm having an existential crisis. So that tends to be the way people leave. Do you know what? I love the conversation. So I think probably by the end of a recording, I'm so busy saying thank you, like, because I'm genuinely grateful. Like, the thing I always say is that for people to come on this little show, the podcast is brand new. I'm not famous. I'm not anyone. I'm just a bloke who had an idea to do a podcast. So I am always just really grateful people come on, because when someone comes on and even engages with the idea, that's awesome. When someone then comes on and shares so much personal stuff, like, the only response I can have is just to say thank you a million times, because, like you say, some people just share such personal stuff. Ori Styler, who was on episode 8, he when he shared the link, he wrote, I've never been so honest about everything in all my life. And it's just like, you get these guys and girls who have just come on and they just share their stories, and it's awesome. And I just listen.
And Patrick Keelty, I know, is in episode 10, which is your yes. final of the latest series. And, you know, it's well publicised, some aspects of his past. But again, he's very open and honest and talks about the death of his father.
Yeah. So Paddy and I have worked together. So I produced, we talk about it on the show, but I produced two series of a chat show with Paddy. And we left this little scene on at the end of episode 10, if you listen to it. But I was absolutely, that was the one I was most nervous about, because I grew up watching Paddy Keelty just be brilliant interviewing people. And people don't, Paddy doesn't get the credit for doing what he did, which was to make jokes that no one else would make because they were too afraid. And this wasn't some guy who'd kind of coasted through. This is a guy who had experienced the troubles firsthand, you know, through the murder of his dad. So for him to get up and make those jokes and to do what he did and to interview the people he interviewed, he was, to me, a complete hero and a legend. So then when he came on the show, I was like, I don't even know where to begin. Like, where do you start interviewing this guy? And yeah, like you say, just within minutes, he just opened up about the loss of his own dad, about being a dad, about his upbringing, about, oh, I mean, he left nothing on the table. I mean, it's just all there. It was brilliant. He was brilliant.
It's a great listen.
Sounds incredible. Are there anything, I don't want to put you on the spot too much, but is there any one question that was asked over the first 10 episodes that really stands out in your memory?
Yeah, I think Paddy's why do you pretend to be real was a really great question. I think the one that I was really grateful for, we had Jordan Gray, who's a trans comedian. And her first question to God was, if you don't get mistakes, why didn't you get me right first time round, or something like that. Oh man, I remember the feeling of just being like, I am so grateful that you are going to share this story with me, and I then get to put it out and we get to share it with so many other people. And she was just such an amazing guest. And I think, yeah, Jordan, Paddy's question about that. And then some really silly ones, like Beck Hill, who's a brilliant comedian. And again, just so talented. Like, her second question was just like, why do men have nipples? It's just like one of those things. So that's, do you know what? I think that's what I love most about the show, is that we have literally the sublime to the ridiculous, but nothing goes nowhere. Like, every question people bring, they always end up there being a reason for asking that. So yeah, like, I mean, I could name you a question for every episode, because honestly, I end up spending so much time sitting there with goosebumps just going, man, I didn't know you were going to tell me this story, and I am so grateful that you've told me this story, because it's just, yeah, it's so much fun.
There was one question that really stood out for me, and forgive me for forgetting which episode it was, but one of your guests asked, why did you make sex so much fun?
Yeah, Ori, yes. Yeah, that was amazing. Yeah, that was, and again, opened a whole new thing for our podcast, because Ori comes from a kind of quite a charismatic Pentecostal background of church. And actually, so we talked a little about purity culture. We talked about this idea that actually, for a lot of people who grew up in or around religion, the idea is that sex is awful and God wants nothing to do with it. But then actually, if you really believe in God, then actually you believe that everything is kind of created, and therefore you've got the sense that actually you create sex but you hate it. And that was such a deep question.
Yeah.
But you know, the really cool thing about people's responses to questions, and I really love this, is that like I don't know how much people need to know about my life, but I spent sort of 10-15 years working for the church. So I was a preacher essentially in many ways for a living. I did a lot of preaching sermons, particularly to teenagers. And then I moved out of that to get into radio and telly. But I've never lost my faith. I'm a Christian guy, and my faith is a really important part of who I am. But so that means I've got a really bizarre, diverse group of friends. And what's amazing is how people respond to these episodes. I have got some incredibly conservative theologian friends, right on the right wing of theology. And then I've spent the last 10 years working in telly and radio, so I've got some incredibly liberal and progressive people in my life. But what I love is, so often people like the same stuff.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They just like the same stuff, right? And you just go, that is a cool, like, honestly, sometimes I'll get messages from two people next to each other, and I'm like, man, if you two met, I would love to be in the room. It's just really good fun. It's really good fun. So yeah, so that was a great question from Ori. Why didn't you help us win the World Cup last year? It was a great question. Yeah, it's like, you know, we've done 10 episodes, so we've got 30 questions. My favorite piece of the whole show, if I'm really, really honest, one of my favorite parts of the show is right at the end, the last thing I say to the guests is, what would God ask you?
Yeah.
And that for me is always like just a really, really incredible moment, because actually there's often just this silence that descends, which of course in radio is, you know, the worst thing that could ever happen. But actually in those moments, there's this silence where you see someone go, whoa, I really have no idea. And that's one of my favorite moments, is that moment between asking that question and then whatever brilliant thing comes next. I love that moment.
Well, let's try that, Ben. Ben, if God was to ask you one question, what would it be?
Oh, Lord.
There you go. There's that moment.
That's a good reverent reply to him. You've done well. You've dressed him correctly.
I really don't know. I guess he'd think, what were you doing? I hope that would be the question. What were you thinking? Yeah, I like that. I mean, that must have been something, Matt, that you've had to deal with yourself. You must be sitting there asking these questions episode after episode. You must have thought about what your own answers would be.
So interestingly, I try not to, because everyone always asks me. So I've really tried not to. And actually, what's fascinating is this for me, this idea didn't come from anyone who does any of this stuff. Like we tend to have a certain amount of ego about ourselves, right? So we know that. There's a reason why we're all talking into microphones right now. Like, who has microphones unless you want to talk into them, right? So we all want to talk into the microphone. For me, the really key thing about God Only Knows is that I listen more than I talk. And that's really important. So the moment I go into one of those episodes with an agenda or an idea, or, you know, even though I have a faith and I'm really, you know, I'm really passionate about my faith, and it's a really important part of who I am, this isn't an opportunity for me to come on God Only Knows and talk about what I believe in. It's an opportunity to learn from people who often don't believe the same. And that for me is the most important thing, because once I go into that and I start to listen, I have never walked away from a recording and not learned something. And that is just amazing. That's such a gift.
I think the other great thing about your podcast is, you know, because people won't necessarily know this about me, but I've spent the last 25 years of my life in one form or another involved in religious broadcasting.
Mm.
And I would say that what your podcast does is what I've been wanting to do for so many years, because you sit down with people who aren't there to preach, they're not there with an agenda, but actually you end up having these very philosophical and theological conversations. And I know some of your guests have got faith and some don't, but it fascinates me that, as you said at the start, we all want to talk about this stuff, and it makes me wonder, is your life enriched by the fact that people do want to engage on a spiritual level about these things?
Yeah, it's enriched because people, like, for me, anytime anyone sits down and shares their story, something spiritual happens. Whether you want to call that God, or you want to call it the universe, or you want to call it the other, whatever. Like, for me, do you remember the film Beetlejuice?
Yes.
The challenge I have with people of my own faith group, as a Christian. It's like, we've had this weird idea that you have to say Jesus' name three times or he can't appear. Like, we've turned God into some crazy bad guy, like in a Tim Burton film. And actually, for me, like, anytime anyone turns up and shares their story, and anytime you connect with someone on a relational level, that's a spiritual act. So when someone walks into a room, or I walk into their house, or we walk into a studio, and I go, hey, I'm going to pretend to kill you, and then you're going to tell me what you'd ask God. Immediately, we're going to be enriched, because we both turned up to have that conversation. And there's a real beauty, like, I'm not paid by anyone to do this. There's no Christian organization. You can follow the money, and it leads to my wife telling me off for spending so much money. That's where the money leads. There's no, like, American billionaire funding this as some sort of crazy evangelistic project. This is the worst evangelistic project ever. This is just a bloke who you know, has some microphones. And again, I should also give a huge shout out to my producer, Joel, from .. Productions. But actually, for me, I don't have that. So I don't have to worry about, you know, whoever's paying me not liking a question. I don't have to worry about someone not liking the word sex or someone not liking the guests I choose or any of that, because it's just me. So I get to go on there and pick interesting people and ask them to come on, and then they ask all the questions. And that's really scary for people of faith, because often we're told as people of faith, we have to go out and provide answers. But actually, I think it's way more interesting to provoke questions. So that's all I want to do. I want people to ask interesting questions, and then I listen.
And I guess that's reflected in your listenership as well. That means that you won't just be getting staunch religious people. You'll be getting atheists, agnostics, the whole spectrum of people listening.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, but the slightly scary thing has been, I'd sort of, in my head, I'd convinced myself that most people of faith wouldn't listen, which meant I could sleep at night, not worrying about what they were going to say to me on Twitter. But actually, it has been really mixed. And do you know what's been lovely? Because it's really been a lesson to me. We can sometimes get an idea in our head of what religious people are like. Even I can do that as, like, you know, what are those religious people like? Because I don't want to class myself like that sometimes. But actually, you know what? It's been some of those really traditional, conservative, you know, very faithful, but maybe people who have quite old-fashioned, traditional, you know, kind of Christian views, have been some of the most gracious and open-minded, and have sent me some of the loveliest messages. So actually, I've got it wrong as well, because it's really easy to caricature everyone. It's really easy to caricature some of those people and go, oh, they won't like it. But you know what? It's often the least expected people walk up to me and go, I heard your podcast, and I go, oh no, hi. And then they go, and I just loved it. And that's a lesson to me too, because it's really easy when you sort of think you're right about something, they kind of think that everyone else is never going to get it. But actually, I've been blown away and really humbled by people who've come and gone, I just really enjoyed listening to that. So that's been cool too. I've been put in my place a few times.
Now, one thing that I'd like to ask you, Matt, is if you put yourself in this position where you've gone up in your elevator and you are now entering the afterlife, what I know on your podcast, you often ask, you know, how people might perceive God. Is it the sort of long white hair and all that? But what I'm more interested in is what would be your heaven. I mean, would it be streets paved with gold and all that sort of stuff? I mean, what's heaven?
I heard this great story once from a theologian called Pete Rollins, and he tells the story of an episode of The Twilight Zone where this guy dies and goes to heaven, and he gets to heaven and he gets given this huge house, and then he goes to the casino, and every time he rolls the dice he gets the numbers he needs, and every time he spins a wheel he lands on it. And basically the whole thing works out that he can have everything he wants. And after a few weeks or months of this, he turns to the kind of to Gabriel or Michael or whoever it is, this character's playing. And he says, what kind of heaven is this? And the angel turns to him and says, heaven, this is hell. And I love that idea that actually whatever I would want it to be, that can't be it. Like, there's something about, like, I think for me, if I was absolutely pushed, heaven is a massive table and we're all invited to sit at it, and we're all invited to eat at it, and everyone's going to be there. And in some ways, that's going to make it more like hell, because there's going to be people there that you were hoping weren't going to be there, and there's going to be people there that you didn't think were going to be there. And for me, I'm going to be sitting around a table with the most incredible, eclectic group of people, and we're just going to share a meal and have a conversation, and I think that might be heaven.
What about you, Ben? What would your heaven be?
I don't know, after such a nice answer all about other people and sharing and not just in,
yeah, you're just going to be like, oh, just end this video game.
I just sort
loads
of
Haribo.
I'll tell you what, you're not far wrong. A Haribo and a lie-in, that's heaven for me.
Yeah, perfect.
Mine is basically in my life now, just endless episodes of Frasier on a loop.
Yeah.
That was just Channel 4 in the morning. So Matt, you've got a second series in the pipeline too?
Yeah, we do. So we've started lining up some guests. So I've been really really fortunate over the last sort of 10 years to work in television. I've made some really cool shows with people. I've worked with some great people. So we've got some great guests lined up. So we're going to do another 10, and then we're going to see from there and see how it goes. And I think for me, I just want to get better at doing it. Like, I want to get better at it. I really enjoy doing it. The guests we get are great. And also a lot of the agents who set us up are really good. So we've got some really up and coming young comedians who are coming on. We've got a couple of really interesting entrepreneurs and activists. And then we've got hopefully a couple of big names who are going to come and join me because they're kind enough to do that.
Well, Matt, we must say we really enjoyed the podcast. So good luck with it and keep going. But before you before we let you go, I'd like to revive a little game that you and I used to do on the radio.
Oh, yes.
So I can't remember
whether... How many 45-minute, 5 minutes left? Yeah.
I can't remember whether we gave this game a name or not. I don't know if we did.
Oh, we did, but that's going to really bother me now because I can't remember what it is.
But basically, we might be able to detect from your accent you're from Northern Ireland.
I have an accent.
Just a little. Just a tad.
Someone should have told me. I speak slower.
Now, Ben, you were born in Northern Ireland.
Yeah, I was born in Belfast. Yeah, can you not tell? I mean, same problem.
So I'm hoping...
I mean, my goodness, I thought I'd lost mine, but Ben, what's going on?
So I'm hoping that with Ben on my side here, I'll do better than I ever did on the radio. So basically, the idea is that you would give me a Northern Irish phrase, and I would have to guess what the phrase is, what you were saying.
Yeah, yeah.
So you up for this, Ben?
I'm ready.
Because you're more tuned to the accent than perhaps... Because your mum's got quite a strong Northern Irish accent.
She does, yeah.
So you might even know these phrases.
Mind you, half the time I don't understand what she's saying.
It's just you don't listen to her. That's the issue.
What she says.
Yeah. So perhaps we can do a couple of those if you got...
I've got two lined up ready.
All right, let's go with your first one.
Here we go. Here, wind your neck and your buggy jet.
Yeah, I think I understood that.
Did you understand that? Yeah. Can you say it again for me, Matt?
Yeah, wind your neck in your bucky jit.
I think I got wind your neck in, yeah, an idiot.
I think it was wind your neck in your bucky jit, which is essentially saying, mind your own business, you moron.
What's the bucky idiot?
Bucky jit.
Bucky jit.
Yeah, two words.
Yeah, I always like wind your neck in, because wind your neck in is like Irish folklore. It's like whoever you speak to, they'll give you 50 different like reasons for what it actually means. But yeah, and bucky jit's kind of a... Buckyjit's like calling someone like a wombat. Like you don't hate them. Like you just want them to know they're being an idiot.
Right, okay. Yeah. Well, next time I see your mum, I'm listening out for that.
Yeah. You'll have heard it before. You just might not have called it.
Many times.
Yeah.
Okay, and one more.
Okay, ready for this one? Those two are important, so they are.
Blimey. I mean, that was even a bit fast for me. Do it one more time.
One more time.
Those two are important, so they are.
Come on, Ben. Attune those ears.
Okay, I might have misheard it.
Yeah.
It sounded like those two are courting, so they are. As in, those two are an item romantically, maybe.
Boom.
Was that it?
That's it.
There we go.
And so they are, just because, you know, we say everything twice just so we get a bit longer to talk. You know, if you talk quick, you get more words out.
I mean, no offence meant here at all. I just didn't get one word of that. My ears almost gave up. They just went, no.
I do have that effect on people. The stats on the podcast can show that. You can see people just sort of like going up to two times on my bits. And, here's the guest. Paddy Keith is back. Good. We'll listen to him.
Well, I think when we were on the radio, we must have played that game, I don't know, 30, 40 times. I didn't get one.
Really?
But thanks to you, Ben. Back on a winning streak.
We needed you back in the day.
Hey, look, Matt, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thanks
we wish you
me.
Really well with God Only Knows, the second series. And the first series is all available on iTunes and wherever you get your podcast from, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah, it's on Spotify, it's on Acast, it's on iTunes, wherever you get it, you can find it. It's on Google. You can just find it and it's there. And go and have a listen.
Before we wrap up this week's podcast, Ben,
yeah,
I could do with a little bit of advice.
From me?
Well, from anyone that might be able to help me, but I thought maybe you would have some ideas.
Wow, you don't often come to me for advice.
Well, it's something that is driving me a little bit mad.
Okay, what's wrong?
I've got this phantom noise in my house. And I say a phantom noise in that I think I know what it is, but I can't prove it.
Okay, when you say phantom, do you mean mysterious or ghostly or just unknown?
Not ghostly. It's like a sort of rustling. It's like a sort of what's the word? Like something. It's something scuttling.
Okay.
So I've heard this noise in my house for years, right? And I've always thought, when I had an issue with mice in the house, I just assumed that it was a mouse in the cupboard under the stairs.
Well, that was my first thought, a mouse, because I know you had a mouse problem. But yes. I thought you'd solve that.
Well, the last mouse I caught was probably about a year ago.
And since then, you've had all the floorboards up, sealed off every entrance, every exit.
Yeah.
And done a lot.
But this noise is still there.
Huh.
So what I've been trying to do is isolate where exactly the noise is coming from, because I've always assumed, as I say, that it's in the cupboard under the stairs. That was where I thought this noise was coming from. But I've been in the cupboard under the stairs, I've cleaned it all out, there's no sign of a mouse in there, no evidence of it.
No droppings, no chewed up
nothing
peppers.
Nothing. Okay. Right? Now, you know, I have had a dog in my house every now and again over the last few months.
Yeah.
And a couple of times
that's
dog...
That's no way to talk about that.
No, she enjoys me calling her that. Okay. It's a term of endearment.
It's an actual dog, yes.
Yes. And a couple of times, the dog has gone absolutely mental, staring at a particular point in the room. And I think I mentioned this when we were doing the radio show, because it freaked me out.
I remember, and my dog's done a similar thing. And you sort of look at it and you think, what the hell are you staring at?
What are you staring at? And since I've moved some furniture around, I'm now sitting in a different position in the room. And the noise is louder than it has been before.
Okay.
So I've started to detect where this noise is coming from. It seems to be coming from the door frame.
The door frame?
I think that somehow there's a mouse that runs... I don't even know if the inside of door frame's hollow. But what it sounds like to me is that it's running up the inside of the door frame or running down.
Okay.
And then disappearing back under the floorboards.
Your door frame, that would mean your mouse can climb. I don't know if mice can climb. I mean, it would be
I think they can climb, yeah.
What would it be, an almost 7-foot vertical climb?
Well, yes, but
can
I don't...
do that?
Well, I don't know, but it's freaking me out. And every time, because it's unpredictable, you don't know when this noise is going to happen. And because I'm desperate to really isolate it to the doorframe, that is where I think it is. And it's definitely an animal. It's definitely something alive. As soon as I hear that noise, I move to try and get nearer to the source of it so I can hear it. But as soon as I move, it stops.
Well, surely doorframes aren't hollow.
Well, this is what I don't know. I mean, I've tapped on it. You know, you give it a bit of a tap, and it sounds like it might be hollow, but I don't know.
Could you bang a nail into it?
Well, I've only just painted the thing. I've just decorated. I don't really want to be banging a nail into it.
You need to do something, though. I mean, it could be like a very exciting game of whack-a-mole. Remember that, where they used to drop a sock puppet down a drain pipe and you have to hit it? Every time you hear the scuttling, you're there with a hammer and a nail. And, of course, you wouldn't know if you'd won or not.
Well, no.
Unless blood starts seeping through the door.
I know. But then also, if I have managed to pierce a live mouse with a nail, there's just going to be a dead mouse suspended on a nail, rotting away in the door frame. I don't think I want that either.
I haven't thought that through. I also haven't thought through the backlash I'm going to get from the Peter people. I was only joking. Don't do that.
Because the smell of a dead mouse is pretty horrific. For such a small thing, they give off quite a whiff of death when they go. So I don't know what to do. I don't know what my next step is, because I don't want to rip up the new carpet either. That's all down now. So it's like, I don't know what to do. I don't know how I'm going to A, identify exactly where this noise is, and B, stop it if there is something.
Well, you need to somehow try and block up it. We'll have to work on the assumption the door frame is hollow.
Right, okay,
which is surprising to me to begin with. But work on that assumption. Then we need to think, how can we, without destroying your freshly decorated room, let the mouse know that his entrance around the door...
What do you mean, let it know? Send it a memo?
It will have a memo. It will approach the door frame, the weirdly hollow door frame, and it will learn that it's now been blocked off. So how do you neatly block it off?
Right, okay, yeah.
And also, why would this mouse be running a loop around your door frame just to go back down to the floor?
But I don't know. I don't know where else it's going. Where else is it invading my house? I don't know.
The mice emit any sort of noises that you could detect?
I don't think so. I think, well, they squeak, don't they? Famously, mouse squeaks.
One of those, you know, things. What do they call those things that they use to measure bat noises?
What, like a sonar thing? But it's not. I don't think mice. It's not sonar, is it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you've got microphones. You could try and pick up some very high pitched squeaking.
I don't know. Well, look, I'm willing to try anything.
The scary thing is, of course, if you found out that the door frame is completely solid. There is no.
Well, then I don't know what the if that is the case, and perhaps somebody can let us know at Trev and Ben on Twitter whether door frames are hollow or not. And bearing in mind that mine's a sort of built a house built in about 1900, a new house may well have a hollow door frame, but.
No, surely they're not hollow.
I mean, what about
put the hinges in the door frame to keep the door aloft? That can't be hollow, can it?
No, there's not. It's the other side. There's not hinges. It's
You're saying that half of a door frame's hollow, the other half is
What I'm saying is, if you look at your door in this room right now,
yeah,
where the door handle is, the frame that side, there's nothing on that. There's no hinges attached, is there?
No.
So imagine that that's where it's running down. That it runs past the door handle, runs right to the bottom of the door frame, and then under the floorboards, maybe. I don't know.
But you're missing the point. If half of the door wasn't hollow,
yeah,
what would be the point in going up there? Because it would run into a dead end.
But yeah, but what? Mice can't. Perhaps it just thinks, well, I go, and it keeps forgetting. It might not always be the same mouse. I mean, it's years I've been hearing this.
It's a mouse with amnesia.
It's generations of mice being taught this. And perhaps before I did the decorating, there was more of a route through to somewhere else. But now it seems like there's not. And the noise is getting louder. That's the other thing. It is definitely getting louder.
Is it getting louder because you're moving closer to it?
Well, I am closer to it because I have moved the furniture. No, but it seems a lot more aggressive than it used. Yes.
Probably panicked.
I don't want a panic mouse in my doorframe.
No, nobody does.
The other thing that's worrying me is underneath the floorboards by that doorframe is where all the electric wires connect in a junction box. And a very good friend of mine has just been the victim of a fire in an outside building, completely destroying this outside building. And the fire investigation people think it was a rat nibbling through a wire.
Okay.
So now I'm absolutely petrified.
So there is a matter of urgency. We need this sorted quickly.
That these mice are running down, they'll start nibbling through the electricity wires, and then I'll be up in flames before I know it.
Okay, well, we need an answer to this, because to be honest, we've been talking about this for a few minutes and it's driving me crazy. So we need to put an end to this.
That's it for another Trev and Ben podcast. Thanks very much to Matt White. Don't forget his podcast, God Only Knows, is available on iTunes and other places where you get your podcast. The whole first series of 10 episodes is available now. It's great to talk to Matt, top bloke.
Oh yeah.
And if you can help me out with my any ideas on the mouse problem, any ideas, I mean, even if you think you're clutching at straws, just give us a clue. We're at Trev and Ben on Twitter if you'd like to get in touch with us, and yeah, you can get in touch with us about absolutely anything,
anything
you like. And thank you very much for downloading and listening. Don't forget to subscribe and review, and we'll catch you next week. Take it easy.
Bye.